The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us rise as we begin singing our first hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart to confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest me. is sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee that thy alms for mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocence that resists sufferings and death, of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to thee, in course and for thee.
While this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the intro. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress.
Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors.
O Lord, let me not be put to shame,
for I call upon you.
Without end.
humble servants, that we who put no trust in our own merits may not be dealt with after the severity of your judgment, but according to your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Question 38 from the Catechism. Why do the commandments begin with the words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt"? These words identify Israel's God. He rescued them from Egypt. The same Redeemer who rescued Israel also rescued us from sin and death, sending his Son to die and rise for us. And then they suggest that you read John 3:16. What are carved or graven images? Carved images include artwork, carvings, and other visual depictions that are not worshipped as gods or believed to have spiritual power. Note, since God has become visible in the flesh of Jesus, Christians may rightly use visual depictions to teach biblical truths. The Old Testament reading for the 25th Sunday after Trinity is in the 32nd chapter of Exodus, beginning with verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as Moses, this man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and molded a calf. Then they said, "This is our God, O Israel, that brought us out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that you brought out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." And Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, that they shall inherit it forever.' So the Lord relented from his harm that he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The two tablets were written on both sides, and on the one side and on the other they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, He said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But Moses said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the shout of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which he had made, burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and scattered it on the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual printed in your bulletin. Your foes have roared in the midst of your mighty place.
They set up their own signs for signs.
Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old,
which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage.
The epistle reading is from St. Paul's first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th verse, beginning with verse 15. Jesus says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together." Here endeth our gospel reading. Our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. The reason we're doing the Nicene instead of the Athanasian is because during Christmas and Advent we will be confessing the Athanasian. "I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost through the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
sermon is based off of Matthew 24. And the theme is the true church proclaims only Christ crucified for salvation. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So what is the abomination of desolation? Well, an abomination is a disgusting and hated thing. There's nothing found more disgusting and hated than God, but by God, than idolatry. That is the worship of false gods. Desolation is the act of desolating, to lay bare, and to make uninhabited. In the gospel reading, Jesus meshes his two warnings with different events. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and the end of the world. Both of these events coincide with the abomination of desolation. Dear saints in Christ, in 70 AD, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was burned down and destroyed along with the city of Jerusalem by Roman forces. Jesus predicted this would happen. There are signs leading up to this event. In 40 AD, the emperor, Caligula, attempted to set up a golden statue in the temple for people to worship. Jesus told the Jews that when they saw these signs, to flee. The destruction of the temple, which put an end to the Jewish sacrifices to this day, and the destruction of Jerusalem for the abomination of the desolation. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD was the final of many assaults on Jewish worship. Throughout the Old Testament, bad kings set up idols in the temple. In 167 BC, the king of Syria sacrificed pigs in the temple. These abominations had the goal of destroying the religion of the Jews by desecrating their place of sacrifice. You see, it was through sacrifices that God communicated to his people that he accepted them. If the place of sacrifice is desecrated, then so is the religion of the Jews. You know, every sacrifice of the Old Testament pointed to the absolute sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. When the faithful Jews of the Old Testament looked to the sacrifices in the temple, they remembered God's promise to send a Savior to redeem them from their sins. So the attacks on the temple, the place of sacrifice, was an attempt by the devil to remove Christ from God's people. Still, there's another abomination which makes for desolation that you must contend with in these last days. The abomination does not deal with a temple that is made with hands. Rather, it is an attack on a spiritual temple. The abomination of desolation, which you must contend with today, is the removal of Christ Jesus from his church. Jesus warns, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And this warning from Jesus is also for you. And just as many believers heeded Jesus' warning concerning the first abomination of desolation and fled before Jerusalem was laid bare, so you too should heed Jesus' warning. The abomination of desolation today is not Donald Trump. It's not Tim Walz or any other political leader or political party. It's not the rulers of the nations Jesus warns you about, but those who infiltrate Christ's church upon earth. Scripture says that the man of lawlessness takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Further, it also says the coming of a lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all the power and false signs and wonders. You see, Satan isn't really concerned with destroying the United States of America, for America will fall just as every other nation will fall. No, Satan wants to lay the very Church of Christ desolate. He does this by raising false Christs and false prophets within the very visible Church of God upon earth. Jesus warns, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. If they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Yet many popes and bishops dressed in religious vestments have sent Christians out into the wilderness on pilgrimages or into monasteries and convents, seeking Christ through a life of good works, while ignoring the salvation Christ earned for them through his blood. Many preachers, with their own churches, radios and television shows, or internet podcasts, tell millions of people where to find Christ. They lead people astray with great wonders and signs. Some seem to perform miracles by healing the crippled and sick, or speaking in tongues, or prophesying. Jesus said they would do these things. They lead people astray with impressive performances and clever arguments. They're successful and attractive, and they call themselves Christians. Nevertheless, all these false Christs and false prophets have something in common. They distract from Christ's suffering and death upon the cross for the forgiveness and salvation of his people. You see, Satan attacks Christ's church from the inside. The abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, his false faith standing in the place of Jesus' blood and righteousness. The temple is no longer needed because Jesus has fulfilled all sacrifices. Now you are the holy place where God dwells, where God tabernacles. Through faith in Jesus' blood shed upon the cross for you, God dwells in your heart. This is how he is with his people. Satan wants to replace Jesus' blood and righteousness with your faith, with a false faith. He doesn't do this with threats of physical force. He does this by impersonating Christ in his church. This is why it is so important for you to never take your eyes off Jesus and what he has done for you upon the cross. So how do you identify the true Christ from an imposter? How do you know that you are in the true church or a bad counterfeit? Well, like many young children, when I was a small child, I once wrapped my arms around the legs of one of the ladies at church because I thought she was my mom. They were wearing similar skirts. And likewise, Christians too get deceived. They identify the church by looking at things that remind them of the church. But not all buildings with steeples, crosses, and pulpits actually have Christ inside. Just as not all women who wear skirts are my mom. You identify the true church by listening for the true teaching of Jesus. Jesus died upon the cross for your sins and rose for your justification. If you believe that God forgives you for Christ's sake, you are truly forgiven and will be saved. Nevertheless, Even if the church has all the other familiar markings of a church, it has an altar and pews, a pastor and people, candles and hymn books, this does not mean that it is the true church. If Christ is not preached, if you do not hear that the blood shed on the altar of the cross washes away your sins, then that is not the church of Christ. The abomination of desolation stands in the holy place not only when false teachers remove Christ's work of salvation from the preaching of the church, but when Christ, his blood and righteousness are removed from your heart. You can belong to an Orthodox Lutheran church still if you do not believe in the forgiveness of sins from Christ, then an abomination dwells in your heart instead of Christ Jesus. Where the corpse is, there is where the vultures will gather. Christians gathered on the cross of Christ, while Satan calls you to go out and see more glorious Christ, who offer you success, who don't tell you to repent of your sins, who are rich and successful. But Christians gather around a broken and a despised Christ who died upon the cross, while Satan calls you to go to a vibrant, growing church that is adored by the world. The elect are scorned for going to Jesus, where he can be found, even when their numbers dwindle. The true church is despised in this world because Christ is despised. To trust in his sacrifices for sins is offensive because it means that you must acknowledge that you are sinners who need to repent. God's wrath against Jesus upon the cross is hated because it reveals God's wrath against your own personal sins. To believe that God can punish Jesus for sins that you've committed is scoffed at, even by so-called Lutheran theologians, indeed ridiculous. Nevertheless, you fools trust in this foolishness. You cherish the cross of Christ, his blood poured, and his broken body laid in a tomb. You gather to eat the true body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. The same body nailed to the cross, and blood which dripped from the nails and spear. The world finds this grotesque. Even many Christians don't understand this. Nevertheless, Jesus himself bids you to eat and to drink. His flesh is true food, and his blood is true drink. You do not devour Christ like vultures around a corpse, as the mocking world imagines. Rather, you partake of the risen body of Jesus. You eat and drink and receive Christ's living body and blood in a way that you do not understand. Still, you believe that just as Christ is risen from the dead, so too will you who have been joined to him through this meal. Dear saints in Christ, the tribulation in the latter days will be greater than the world has ever seen. The number of false Christs and false prophets will only increase, and attacks on Christ's church from the inside out. Satan is dead set upon laying the church of Christ desolate. Nevertheless, God will preserve his church. Built on a rock, the church shall stand, even when steeples are falling. Church buildings may be burnt to the ground. Churches and synods might go belly up or reject the gospel completely. Even the beloved Missouri Synod might fall away. But Christ's church will never fall away. The elect of Christ will remain gathered around the preaching of Christ crucified, wherever that might be. No one will be able to remove Christ from his proper place in their hearts. For nations and empires have risen and fallen,
and yet many still will fall. Nevertheless, the church, that despised flock, who trust in a foolish gospel, she shall remain forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly King, the whole world is in your power. We thank you for the many blessings of creation which you sustain despite every ravage of sin, death, and the devil. Help us to receive your benefits with gratitude, knowing that they come through Jesus' merit and not our own. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, bless and uphold Matthew, our synodical president, Brady, our district president, Greg, our circuit visitor, all pastors and congregations in our parish. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
prayer. O God, our creator, you ordered this world according to your good and gracious will, crowning your creation with man and woman, giving us faith to cherish the holy estate of marriage, its union of husband and wife. Your call to be fruitful and the promise that you will bless what you have made. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you entrusted your creation to man to tend, subdue, and keep. Bless the farmers who tend the land for its increase. Grant them a rich harvest and so provide also for us as each lives out his particular calling according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, You have said by your apostle that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Lead us to respect godly authorities, to oppose what stands against your word, and to see every unbelieving person as your creature from whom Christ has died. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, we bless Jeannie continually by your word and spirit, that she may faithfully keep the covenant into which she has been called, boldly confess her Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, uphold your servants, especially Barb, Marianne, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, and Belinda. Hold before our eyes the crucifixion of your Son, that trusting in him we may see past trials, sicknesses, and loss through the lens of his steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread and wine, the fruits of your creation, and made them his body and blood. Help us to receive these fruits of his new creation worthily for the healing of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated as we sing hymn 307. treated right and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take, eat, the body of Christ, given to death for your sin.
Take, eat, the body of Christ, given to death for your sin.
Take, drink, the blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Body of Christ, given to death for your sin.
Thank you.
for all your sins. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
continue with the new Corinthians. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. If there's an emergency this week, contact one of the elders, and then they will get a hold of the area pastor. Bev Bays is a hospice care. She's a hospice care, so keep praying your prayers. She was mentioned in the prayer that it wasn't that she was a hospice. She was put on hospice last week, I guess. Also, is there any announcements for collecting canvas? So we're going to collect canvas to donate to the food shop. So after Thanksgiving, we're taking two there. So if you want to bring canned goods and leave them at the churches, we'll give it to the food shop. Have a blessed week and God's grace.